and Randy Richardville is on the other end of our line to address those concerns. Randy, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. We really appreciate your time. It's interesting in these tough economic times here in the state of Michigan. We need jobs. We're trying to rebuild the economy that the legislature, especially in the House of Representatives, is attacking abortion legislation. I just wanted to get your take on why that is happening.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the fact that you notice what we're doing with the economy. You know, some of the outside rating agencies have changed their outlook on Michigan over the last year and a half, and I think that's directly due to some of our policies where, you know, organizations like Fitch are now calling us a favorable business environment, and Bloomberg has said we're among the top two states in the country in terms of recovery from the recession. So that is where our concentration has been in the first 18 months. There are some social issues, though, that we are addressing. And one of them has to do with some recent findings, some studies that determined that babies inside the mother's womb start to feel pain at a certain point in that gestation period. That usually occurs around 20 weeks. So the House of Representatives had a package of bills that they voted on, and they're sending it over to us in the Senate that recognizes that there is a pain threshold. And other things that are in there, like you can't throw a baby into a dumpster, an aborted baby. Those are kinds of things that socially some people have been concerned about, and I think with good reason.
Do you think this is an attempt by the Michigan Senate and the Michigan House of Representatives to circumvent federal law?
No, not at all. I think when the federal government creates laws for the 50 states, the 50 states also have not just a right, but a responsibility to live within those guidelines. And I think that's what the Michigan House of Representatives did with this package of bills, to say, we understand Roe versus Wade, but within those parameters, there are some things that should be considered. And again, you know, the dignity / sanctity of life, I think, is what they're trying to respect here. And when, not too long ago, people discovered that aborted fetuses were being thrown into garbage cans and thrown into landfills, they responded to that. This is in no way, shape, or form an attack on anybody. It's just a respect of, I think, life and the things that make our society a decent society.
There is a report that on Friday, Canadian officials, along with Governor Snyder, are going to release details about an effort to build a new bridge from Detroit to Windsor. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you may or may not know that I introduced a bill last year that would create an authority to look at whether or not a second span should be built in the Detroit area from Detroit to Canada. So I'm in support of that from an infrastructure standpoint. You know, we've got an 80, 90-year-old bridge, and we have a fair amount of traffic, both local and long haulers. I believe that between Toronto in Miami, there are something like 16 traffic lights, and 15 of them are in the city of Windsor. So when you're talking about transportation of goods and products from Canada to the United States and vice versa, which is, of course, our number one trading partner, we want to make sure that that is a smooth a transition, so to speak. So I'm in support of it, but I also believe, along with many of my conservative friends, that we have to be very careful.
Randy, I have to get to a hard news break. Can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Yeah, sure. I'd be glad to.
Six 50 degrees on a Tony Conley Morning Show, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. We've been talking with Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville. He's kind enough to come back for a partial second segment here. Mr. Richardville, thanks so much for your time. I know this is a busy time for you.
That's okay. It's good to be here.
I wanted you to finish your thought about the bridge. I had asked you about the plan for the press conference in which Canadian officials will be with Governor Snyder to reveal the details of that. You had mentioned some legislation that you had submitted in support of a bridge. Continue, please.
Yeah, well, I believe that the governor does have the constitutional powers to create a commission and to sign agreements and those kinds of things. And those agreements could end up with a bridge being built. The part that I was starting to say is that, like a lot of my conservative friends, my concern is that we spend Michigan taxpayer dollars on a bridge to compete with a private enterprise. That seems to be the issue with the legislature and why that bill couldn't get through either the Senate or the House. And so, as a result, he is now looking at ways that he can create this commission without spending any Michigan dollars. And as long as he does it without the dollars, that's okay. The reason that I introduced the bill, however, is because I do believe when you're talking about something that could have that kind of an impact economically and otherwise on this state, I believe legislative oversight is going to be important. So sooner or later, I think if he does move forward, if there is an agreement, if Michigan taxpayer dollars are not a part of this equation, then I think we will look at more legislative oversight.
What is the Michigan Strategic Fund?
Well, the Michigan Strategic Fund is a fund that is partially public, partially private contributions. It has to do with helping to fund the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, which is a kind of a hybrid of government and private enterprise set up during the Engler administration to help promote economic development, investment in Michigan, bringing companies outside of Michigan into Michigan, making it an attractive business environment, also helping local businesses to grow and to expand. So it's an outreach of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation.
Can the governor legally use funds from the Michigan Strategic Fund to help build the bridge?
I think that's a possibility. I have not explored whether or not legally he can do that or not. I believe that it is partially an appropriation, but partially funding coming from other sources. So I'm not really sure of the legality of all of this yet. We haven't heard the announcement yet, which won't occur until Friday, but we are taking a look at it.
In the MERS newsletter, they're reporting that the governor, yourself, and Speaker Bolger have reached an agreement on the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System reform with House and administrative sources saying that today all the sides were real close to a deal. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's close, yeah. There's but a lot of people don't know is that the MPSRS, as it's called, the Michigan Public Employee Retirement System, right now, the actuarial scientists that have looked at that and advised us say that there is not enough funding to pay our educators and to pay their health care costs into their retirements. And so we've done some things to try and reform that. There's going to be some more contribution by the employees, try to make that fund whole and healthy. The big part of it that we already agreed upon, it could save close to $10 to $15 billion over its lifetime is the health care part of that reform. The part that we're having some disagreement about is whether or not we should go to fully a defined contribution program or whether it should be a hybrid, some kind of a pension payment, and then in addition to that, your own investment, a 401k matching fund kind of thing. So that's what they're trying to work out is the details of that. We're close. I think we have an agreement that we are going to do something this week, whether it's just the health care part or part of it, or maybe do a study that will help us to determine some of the actuarial numbers down the road, because I think it's important that when you're talking about this kind of money, that the money or the calculations are accurate.
And finally, can you tell us about the Senate's medical malpractice reform bill that went through a fourth day of testimony yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's a very important reform. I think it's important that doctors practice and practice medicine in a way that obviously patients are safe. However, in Michigan, the kind of medical malpractice insurance is driving costs out the roof. I was talking to a doctor not too long ago and said, what kind of insurance payments do you make in a year? What does it cost you for medical malpractice insurance? And his answer was $800,000 per year for this practice to do its services for people. So there is a balance between making sure that people are safe and then scaring doctors and practitioners into a place where they don't want to do anything because, or at least minimize their risk because of insurance payments and possible lawsuits, you know. And anytime you're dealing with the human body, you're dealing with some variables, some factors that are not easily predictable. And so sometimes you are taking risks. So it's a balance, and that's why I think it's important that the Health Policy Committee take its time and look this over pretty thoroughly. I'm in the committee room right now, where they'll be taking more testimony later this week.
We've been talking with Randy Richardville, the Senate Majority Leader. We appreciate your time so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tony, and look forward to seeing you again.